Good afternoon. For those that I've not yet had the privilege to meet, my name is Tim Arrington. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church. And on behalf of the family, the Reno family, I want to both welcome you and thank you in advance for your being here today as we gather to remember and celebrate the life of Mary Louise Reno. I often say that memorials and funerals make for tough days. They're hard. They're difficult because they're designed to be sort of a day of final words, heartfelt sentiments shared about a dear loved one who has passed away, gone on to be with the Lord. But today, for Mary's family, this is indeed also a day of celebration. Yes, while we gather in support of her family and their loss, we also come together in celebration of Mary's life because her family knows exactly where she is today. She is in the presence of Jesus. And she is in that blessed presence because she took hold of a promise that Jesus Christ made to all who would believe in him. The promise of eternal life in heaven. Therefore, it is a joyous occasion. That promised inheritance was the source of Mary's hope, and we learn about this hope in God's word, where the Apostle Paul spoke of it in 1 Thessalonians 4. He wrote this to comfort people who had lost loved ones who had died. And it is fitting that I read this passage to you this afternoon in that very same context. Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep." And that is simply a euphemism for having died. "We don't want you to be uninformed so that you will not lose, so that you will not grieve as do the rest of those who have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." And he continues on. "For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall also always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." As I said, Mary Reno had this hope. She lived her life according to the hope that the Apostle Paul just described there in those words. She loved her Lord, and she faithfully entrusted her life to him. And that is why we gather in celebration this afternoon. As we begin our time, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we are indeed grateful for this day. As odd as that sounds, it is a day of celebration. And yes, of course, we mourn. We hurt. We hurt for this family who is indeed grieving for the loss of such a very special lady. But we also share in their joy because after a life well lived, 85 years, Mary is in your presence. You welcomed her into your open arms, greeting her with a smile and offering her eternal rest with you. Father, we're grateful for that image, and I pray that we keep that image in our minds all throughout this day and in the weeks and months to come. Mary is with Jesus, and we praise you for that. In this time of both mourning and joy, we ask you, Lord, to be here amongst us, comfort the family with your presence. May they know that you are near. And we just offer this time to you, Lord, and ask for your blessings upon us as we celebrate Mary, and glorify you in this very special moment. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you came in today, if you stopped by the table, you received a program of what we're going to do today. And on the back, you see what we call a life story written in loving memory of Mary Louise Reno. And you may have read through it. I'm going to take just a moment to read through it together with you. Mary was born on January 11, 1940 in Chicago, Illinois, to Howard and Marie Sullivan. She was the middle sister to Pat and Kathy. Mary graduated from Roseland Community Hospital School of Nursing. That's a mouthful. And dedicated her life to caring for others with compassion, warmth, and grace. In 1971, she moved to Tucson, Arizona with her husband Don and four young children to start a new life in the warm Tucson desert. She continued working part-time as a nurse for many years then, and in her late 40s began a new career as a nail technician and worked many years until she retired in 2004. Mary enjoyed leading a woman's Bible study in her home for many years. She loved traveling, cruising, and going to Zumba classes. But most of all, she loved time with her family and friends. She had a great sense of humor and was extremely funny. She is lovingly remembered by her children, and I'm going to include the spouses' names here, Leanne and Tom Glenn, Colleen and Fred Aguiar, Howard and Renee Reno, and Stephen and his wife Desiree Reno. She was preceded in death by her devoted husband, Donald Raymond Reno. Mary's legacy continues on through her grandchildren, Justin and Corey Glenn, Hannah, Wesley, and Noah Aguiar, Kristen, Keaton, Kiana, and Kyler Reno, and through her great-grandchildren, Callie, Harper, and Georgia Glenn, Grayson and Ariella Aguiar Anderson, Aria and Asher, and I didn't ask how to pronounce this last name, Houston? And Carter, Violet, and Cheyenne Reno. There should be applause for that, but no, hold it, hold it. Mary will be remembered for her kind heart, her unwavering strength and love for her Lord and Savior, and her deep love for all her family. Her memory will live, will forever live on in the hearts of all who knew her. Amen. I'd like to ask you to stand this afternoon. Pastor Joel is going to lead us as we sing together, How Great Thou Art.
Some wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thou art. when Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and lead me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow with humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Thank you, Joel. Please be seated. At this time, we're going to share some family memories. Tom is going to come in just a moment, Tom Glenn, and I'm going to read after that a couple of letters that one was written actually by Mary herself, and then I've got a letter to Mary from her daughter Colleen. But I'm going to invite very briefly anyone here who wants to come up and say a few words. You're welcome to do so right now. Just make your way out of the aisle and come forward to, again, to, if you want to say anything briefly. I'll wait a minute or so, and if none, then we'll continue on with Tom. Okay.
I can't see anything, so. Hello and welcome. For those of you who don't know, I'm Renee Reno. I'm Howard's wife, Mary's daughter-in-law. Way back when, in 1983, when I first met Howard, I had a feeling he was it. I was young, very young, and had no idea what was to come. Many years later, Mary told me that she knew I was the one for him. She told me she looked at Don and said, he's in love with that girl. We laughed, and I asked her, how did she know when I didn't even know myself? She answered back quite quickly, because I've never seen him look at anyone like he looks at you. And I hoped she was right. Now it's 2025 and so much has changed. Some good, some not so good. These last few days I've done a lot of reflecting on how things were and how they are now. As I type this out, I'm overwhelmed with grief. Tears, gratitude, and love, but mostly comfort. Comfort because I know where Mary is. I know she is resting in the arms of our Lord and Savior and surrounded by everyone she loves, especially her one true love, Don. As I look at all of you, I say thank you. I say thank you for being here for all of us, for being here to support the ones she leaves behind and to pay tribute to a woman who gave so much to so many. She always said she knows when the time comes where she'll be, and not to be sad. I can't help it, but I'm sad. Because she knows we will all be together again, and it will be a glorious, glorious reunion. I know she is right. She She wrote all of her children and their spouses individual letters. She always knew the right things to say and when to say them. In mine, she told me how much she loved me and was so proud of the young girl who came into their lives so long ago to the grown woman I have become now, a lot heavier and a lot grayer. She encouraged me to keep walking my path with the Lord and to be there. As I stand here today, I will continue my walk and I will be there. I love you, Mary. And I love the family you welcomed me into way back when, in 1983. Thank you.
Would you come?
Well, I'm going to try not to cry. Renee, you started it. Well, the family thanks everybody for being here. Pastor Tim, thank you. Pastor Joel, thank you, sir. Charlene and Bob, I got to take my glasses off to see. Charlene and Bob, wherever you're at, Charlene, thanks for all your help. And for those that don't know me, my name is Tom. I'm Lee's husband. I was the first in-law. And I'd like to start by setting the record straight. Sorry, Fred. Sorry, Renee. Sorry, Desiree. She liked me the best. I was her favorite, sorry. So it was my senior year in high school, first day of class. I'm sitting in the back of the class, and in walks this little short, cute little girl. Little did I know that was going to be my wife, 43 years and counting. And what attracted me the most to her, I think, was her hair. She had beautiful, blown-out hair. Like a Dorothy Hamill cut, you know, a little bob. I actually brought a sample. You can see that. That's almost 48 years old. It's not AI. Everything's AI nowadays, that's not AI. But Mary worked the swing shift as a nurse, so she would come home late, but she would get up early every morning and blow out Lee's hair so it looked like that. That's a great mom to do that. And Lee's hair is naturally curly. And I've always wondered this, and maybe somebody can give me an answer. But the girls with the curly hair pay to have it straightened. And the girls with the straight hair pay to get it curly. Tim, do you know why that is? Oh, yeah. Maybe you could preach a sermon on that someday. So we started to date, and Lee and I, and we went to Lee's house to meet the family, meet everybody. And I was 17, Lee was 15, Colleen was 13, Howard was 12, and Steve. We were in the front hall, and it was kind of dark, and there was something on the floor crawling, and I thought it was a dog, and I went down to pet it, and Lee goes, "No, that's my brother Steve." 9 years old. Now I'm 65. I've been around for 48 years. I knew Mary for 48 years. Wonderful. I just turned 65 about a month ago. And on my birthday, I asked Lee, I said, "Hey, honey, do I look 65? She says, "No, but you used to." And you know, the one thing that's on a 17-year-old boy's mind, the one thing, other than girls, not counting girls, is food. Food. Boy, I'd love to go to Mary's house for dinner. She was a fantastic cook. Remember, guys? and the stuff that used to come out of her kitchen, the chimichangas, the meatballs, and the manicotti, and the soups. We were just talking about her soups last night, and the gazpacho. And then the holidays had come around with the stuffing and the pies and the cakes and the lamb cake, and it was wonderful. And I remember one of the first times I went to dinner over there, and we got ready to sit down at the table, and there was a big platter full of oven-roasted breaded chicken breasts. And I said to Lee, I said, are those all breasts? And she says, yeah, those are all breasts. I said, everybody gets a breast? She says, yeah, everybody gets a breast. She says, why? I said, well, I grew up in a family of 9 people. I mean, my mom cooked chicken, there was only 2 breasts, and I never got one. And I was thinking to myself, I got to marry this girl just for the food. So Lee and I got married in a Catholic church, and we would go to Mass every Sunday with all the family, the whole family. But the Catholic church wasn't enough for Mary. She wanted more. So she started to go to Bible study, and then Lee started to go to Bible study. And then we quit going to Mass, and Lee and Mary went to a non-denominational Bible teaching church, E-Free. And then I didn't go for a long time, but after a lot of nudging, I started to go. And then we ended up at this church almost 30 years ago. And I'd have to credit Mary for helping me start my walk of faith. And the Bible I have today was a gift from her. One thing about Mary, though, she was obsessed with knots. We'd go to her house and she'd hand you something, and it was always in a plastic grocery bag tied up with knots. I mean, not just a knot, I mean 3 or 4 knots. Everything was tied up in a bag with knots. She said, can you change a light bulb for me? I said, okay, where's the bulbs? Oh, they're in the closet. Okay, where? Up there on the top shelf. Where? In that bag. That bag full of knots? Yeah. It's in a bag of knots. Just, and even when we would go see her in Heritage Oak, we'd go and her shoes were tied with 10 or 12 knots each. I asked her one time, I said, Mary, what's up with these knots? Why is everything in knots? And she'd tell me, I like everything tight. Remember she'd say that, tight and secure. So I asked her once, I said, have you ever heard of the name Mary, Queen of Scots? And she says, yeah. And I said, I'm going to call you Mary, Doer of Knots. She thought that was funny. So Lee and I lived in the same neighborhood, and after Don passed, I would go by her house twice a day, and she'd always call me, have me stop by to fix something. The oven was broken, or leaky faucet, or a rat stuck in the pool creepy. And I'd do little things for her all the time. I was over there a lot. So about every 6 or 8 weeks, she would come by the house and pay me. You guys didn't know I was getting some of your inheritance. But she would come by and she would pay me with a big, beautiful bowl of potato salad. I don't even know, do we still have the recipe? Is it lost? I don't know. Boy, that was good stuff. So. And of course, it was when she brought it over, it was in a bag, tied up in knots. So Mary was a wonderful, godly wife, mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, and mother-in-law. I couldn't ask for anyone better. And we're all going to miss her greatly. But don't be sad. Don't be sad today, Renee. Don't be sad. She's in heaven now. She's with Don. She's with her mom and dad. She's with her sister and all the other saints that went before her. And I close my eyes, and I imagine she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary, the doer of knots, is sitting at the feet of our Lord and Savior and tying knots in his sandals.
I'm not sure I want to follow that. We can just be done. No, we have more to share, and I'm excited to share these next two notes with you. As I mentioned, one of them is from marry. This was given to me by Lee last Thursday when we met. It's from Mary to her family, and she calls out specifically Lee, Colleen, Howard, and Stephen. And she wrote, "If you are reading this, it's because something has happened to me. It's not my choice, but through the will of our perfect God. But just know that both your dad and I loved you very much. Tom, Fred, Renee, Desiree, you are a treasured bunch, and we've loved you more than you know." And then she has some words of wisdom. "Look out for one another, all of you. Never let the bond of sister, brother be broken by anyone or anything. Life is too short to put those at a distance that God has gifted us with. So stay close and love one another in spite of the differences and because of them. The most important thing for all of you is to stay close to Jesus Christ. It has been a true blessing to watch each of you grow in him over the years. It is only through Christ that we will have eternal life." And then she wrote a note to her grandchildren at the time. Justin, she called them precious ones. Justin, Corey, Kristen, Keaton, Kiana, Kyler, Hannah, Wesley, Noah, and Callie. And then she put ... because there were a few yet to come. We don't know the exact date this was written. But the family has added Harper and Georgia, Carter and Violet. What a true joy. Oh, she added those? She added those. Okay, very good. What a true joy and deep love you have all been in my life. Grandpa didn't have the blessing to have known you, Kyler or Callie. But I know the depths to which I love you and how much Grandpa would have loved you as well. It is impossible to be the perfect mother, father, grandma, or grandpa. We are all God's children with our earthly imperfections. Just know that we loved you. Never doubt that. We made some mistakes and wrong decisions, but never with intention. We have always wanted what was best for you. Goodbye is always hard. But when we know salvation is ours through the shed blood of Christ, we know we will all be together again someday. So rest easy in him who is our true source of peace. And then in all caps, be there. I think she means be there for each other. Yeah, be there. With all my love, Mom. And then the final word, Maranatha, which means Lord, come quickly. And then Colleen sent this note to me yesterday, and I was privileged to read it on her behalf. It's a letter to Mary. She writes, "I can't believe you've been gone for a week already. The world lost the most beautiful soul inside and out. Knowing that you are in heaven, pain-free, in our Savior's arms, gives me a sense of peace. I feel like I've lost my sense of purpose, not stopping by like I have every day for the last 2 years. We would sit and chat, sharing pictures of the kids and munching on my snack that I would bring, always saying you weren't hungry as your hand went back into the baggie to grab some more. I always hated to leave you, but knowing you were in such wonderful, caring hands of the wonderful people at Heritage Oaks made it easier. You were Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, to us for the past 21 years, and for that I will be forever grateful. We will be okay, knowing we will see you again, but I will miss you every day. Give Dad a hug and a kiss from me. Rest now. Love you, Colleen." I believe we're going to see some pictures from Mary's life, so enjoy these.
Oh, Would you go ahead and stand again, and we're going to sing the song Awesome God together.
Thanks, Joel. Thank you for singing. As I said just a few moments ago, gatherings such as this, when we come together for funerals and memorials, well, it can be difficult because the very nature of a memorial service can be marked by feelings of loneliness and perhaps even sorrow. But I want to briefly address both of those two feelings today, those emotions. First, let me assure you that we are not alone. We are not alone. The God of all comfort is present with us today at this very moment. Psalm 46 promises this. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Yes, God is surely here. He is here to offer both comfort and peace in a time of loss, because the passing of a loved one is indeed painful. So I encourage you to lean upon him. He wants you to lean upon him for the strength that only he can give during this, well, what is always a difficult time. Secondly, though, let me address the word sorrow. Frankly, I don't believe there is cause for sorrow today, and we've talked about this. Mary is no longer here. Yes, we miss her, but Mary is alive. At this moment, she's in the very presence of her Savior, the Lord Jesus. And how do we know this? We know this because Jesus promised it. He said in John 3:16, the most memorable, if not memorized, verse in Scripture, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, God loves the world. He loves Mary, he loves you, he loves me, sinners, all of us, enough to give up his Son to pay for our sins so that we can have fellowship with him for all eternity. Yes, the eternal life in heaven that Jesus promised is available, but there's only one way to obtain it. Only one way. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, no one goes to heaven without believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior. In that one powerful sentence, he showed us the way, the only way to eternal life. Jesus says simply, believe me and follow me. Later, the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:9 tells in very plain language, explains it in a different way, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's the promise. As I said, I met with Lee last week on Thursday, and she told me what we've already heard, that Mary dearly loved her family. She was always there for them. She would do anything for them. But you know, she believed in the Lord Jesus a little later on in life. She made that profession, we believe, in her early to mid-40s. But in doing so, what she did was entrusted her life and her death to her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And from that time on, she fervently prayed for and encouraged all of her family members to know Jesus as well. Again, we need not feel sorrow on behalf of Mary today. Mary's body is no longer weak and frail. She's no longer tired, no longer weary. Indeed, she is healthy and whole and more alive than she has ever been. So again, let not our hearts and minds be captive to these two emotions, loneliness and sorrow. But I suppose there might be one other emotion, one more, that we might be concerned with today. And I'll use the word to describe it, anxiety. Perhaps some of us here are thinking, you know, I really don't care much for memorials. In fact, I'd rather not talk about death at all. Anybody? I won't make you raise your hand, don't worry. But my friends, death is part of life. It is indeed part of life. You know this. We've all heard it said, life is short, death is certain. You probably said it yourself. I've enjoyed the privilege here of working at Christ Community Church for over 25 years and 26 years now. For 25 of those years, I've been involved with a group of folks here called the Sojourners, the senior adults. And I've been involved in my fair share of memorials and funerals over these last 25 years, 10 to 12 each year. And you know something? I have never, ever heard at a memorial anyone ever say, you know what, she lived way too long. Never. It's never said. I don't care how old they were, 105, 107. It's never. Life is never too long. No. Life is always too short. And the Bible speaks to that as well. In Psalm 103, that psalm said, "As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, but when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. It's here today, gone tomorrow." And then in Psalm 90, we find the prayer of Moses. I love the prayer of Moses. If you've not read it, read it. Wonderful text, especially when Moses stops and he prays for his fellow people, his brothers and sisters, fellow Israelites, and he writes these special words, "Lord, teach us to number our days." Why? Because life is short, and he wants us to appreciate the brevity of life, that we will understand that while we are in the midst of life here on earth, we are also in the midst of death. There's no getting by it. I quote the Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw. I stole this from a pastor 25 years ago. "The statistics on death are impressive. One out of one dies." There's no getting by it. Short of Christ's return, every single one of us will die. As I said, life, death, it's all part of the same story. Therefore, while we are here, before that appointment with death comes, while we are here, we should purpose in our hearts to seek the Lord as Mary did and to respond to all the opportunities of salvation that he offers to us through his grace. The Bible teaches us that it is God's kindness that leads to repentance, and it's repentance that leads us to his greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through our Lord Jesus. May each gift that God gives us remind us of his love for us in his Son. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, today again, we say not goodbye, but just farewell to our dear sister Mary. And having committed and entrusting both her body and her spirit unto you, Lord, we thank you for Mary. What a special gift she was. What a blessing she was to everyone who knew her. And most importantly, we thank you, Father, for your great gift of salvation offered through Jesus. And we are so grateful that your daughter Mary received your precious gift and is now enjoying her promised inheritance of eternity in heaven in your glorious presence. We praise you, Father, and thank you for this good day. Lord, you are indeed the God of all comfort, and I would humbly ask that you would pour out showers of love and comfort and compassion upon Mary's family. And I pray that we will all draw closer to you and fully experience your mercy, grace, and peace. And I ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. If you would stand for one final song, and then I will come up and dismiss us.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. Christ, I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. May we stand in the power of Christ until he comes again. Once again, I want to thank you for being here today and joining us in this celebration. The family has prepared a light reception for you all. You are all invited. In just a moment, I'm going to invite the family to leave first, and that's for two reasons. Let them get ahead of you in line. One, no. And then you may follow them over to the room, because many of you probably don't know where we're going. So I'll let the family lead in just one moment, and then you will follow them to our Family Life Center. As we close today's memorial, I just leave you with this benediction from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you as you go. Thank you.